Our scripture today comes from 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A rock.
An innocent stone.
A rock.
The immovable stone.
A rock. A tool of destruction.
A tool of death.
A fortress against intruders.
A divider between my Lord and me.
A rock. So innocent looking.
But so powerful.
A statement.
An instrument of destruction.
A weapon. I was there the day that the man they call Jesus was brought in front of us all. The day was worn. It was the kind of day where if you moved, the dust from the ground would rise up, slinking its way around your throat like a snake, coiling and tightening, leaving you choking and dry. Jesus was brought forth onto the steps of the hall where Pilate and all the other henchmen, known as politicians, did their business. On this day, Pilate was not in front of the crowd, but back in the shadows, watching. Waiting. The guards brought forth Jesus and pushed him to his knees, holding his face up. They stood behind him with their spears poised at his side, waiting, hoping he might try something, anything. But he didn't. He just sat on his knees, looking out at the eerily silent crowd, almost as if he were searching for someone. Between the hush and the dust, you know something was about to happen. All of a sudden, a man started to shout at the crowd like a carnival barker.
All right, folks, gather round. We have for your display one Jesus of Nazareth. Says he's some sort of Christ, the Messiah. Did you hear what I said way back there? He says he's the Messiah. What you think we ought to do?
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
Well, friends, our leader Pontius Pilate has given us an honor today. You're in for a treat. He has decided to wash his hands of this man. Can't say I blame him. Well, that leaves you with a decision. You get to decide whether he goes free or...
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
We can hang him on one of Rome's crosses and crucify him. Come on, folks. What will it be? Don't let this opportunity slip by. You get to choose. All you have to say is free him or crucify him.
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
Then, to my left, I saw a man bend down and pick up a stone, a rock. And then, grinning, he spit on it and threw it right at Jesus.
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
The rock hit him on the forehead. The man who threw it laughed and yelled,
"You want an answer? There's your answer. Crucify him."
All of a sudden, as if someone had flipped a switch, the crowd went crazy. Others picked up stones and began throwing them at Jesus, screaming,
"Crucify him!
Yay! Kill him!
Give me the nails! I'll kill him myself!"
All the time I kept thinking, how ironic that something as innocent as a stone, a piece of the Creator's work, was used to condemn an innocent man.
A rock.
A stone.
A piece of God's granite, a tool to complete justice. It was just a rock. I needed a hammer. I was doing my duty. I'm a soldier. I know the routine. I've come to see the whole incident as entertainment. That's what the crowd sees it as.
Entertainment?
The cross.
The blood.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Every part of these deaths are orchestrated for the crowd's pleasure. Pilate knows it. He loves to tell us,
"Boys, when you kill someone in public, make it big. It's grand theater. Hang them high. Make the blood flow."
Make the blood flow. It's always the same. The convicted, or the leading man in Pilate's little production, always gets the whip at the bottom of the hill. Then they strap the cross on his back and make him haul it up the skull-shaped hill to me. It's always the same. I'm always waiting. It's my job. I'm the nail man. I make the blood flow. The tools of my trade are the same as the carpenter's, a hammer and a nail.
It's always the same.
It's always the same.
It's always the same.
It's always the same, except I don't know. I must have had too much to drink the night before. It just didn't seem the same. The day was dark and windy. Makes it less entertaining. The sun always makes the blood shine. I can usually tell when the onlookers come up the hill. They're boisterous, yelling, taunting. Not today.
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
It caught me off guard. Then they got closer. I noticed he wasn't even carrying his cross. Oh, he had it strapped on, but some other bleeding heart was helping him. This is not good. Not good at all. It's not supposed to be like this, I thought to myself. Keep it together. Come on. It's showtime.
Entertainment.
The cross.
The blood.
I looked around for my tools. The nails were right beside me on the ground where they should have been, but the hammer. Where did I put the hammer? Then I saw it. A large, smooth, thick, rectangular rock. Just as well, I picked it up. They laid the man they called Jesus down on the cross. Then the other guards
stretched out his legs.
They stretched out his arms.
And opened his hand.
I took that rock, that piece of granite. I placed the first nail on his left hand. The blood came forth dark and red. I waited for the cry of pain, for the cheer of the crowd, but nothing.
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
I took the nail and placed it on his right hand. More blood, but still no sound. Just a look from Jesus. He did not spit at me or curse me. He just spoke two words.
"You're forgiven."
Oh no, you can't do that to me. Come on, yell, scream, scream in pain.
So very quiet.
Curse me. You're forgiven? I'm not forgiven. You're going to die, and I'm going to kill you. How can you forgive me? I used this rock.
An innocent rock.
A rock.
A stone.
An earthen fortress that divides yet connects. It was my first assignment. Not too hard to watch a grave. Tough, huh? It wasn't as if anyone could get into the grave and bother the dead Messiah Jesus. A rock, a huge stone, blocked the entrance. It took seven of us to roll it into place in front of the cave. All I had to do was sit and wait. Wait for the sun to come up and my relief to allow some well-deserved sleep. Sleep was not allowed under threat of death from my commander. The night was so still. No wind, no sound. My colleagues and I had drawn lots to see who would watch the rock. I drew the short lot. It was so still.
It was so very quiet.
So very quiet.
I had always wanted to be a soldier. All the conquests and all of the perks. People look up to you when you're part of the Empire's company. Yet it was my mother who encouraged me to be a soldier. She said,
"My son, you need something solid in your life, something that will be a stepping stone toward your future. Be a soldier for our great empire and Caesar. You never know where it might lead."
Where did it lead? To guard a dead person behind a big rock. Our official assignment given by our commander was,
"Men, secure the area from grave robbers. Those followers of Jesus are tricky. They may try to take the body and spread some tale. We owe it to our constituents to protect the tomb and make sure no false rumors spread."
So here I was, protecting a dead person. Oh, I didn't need to hear our commander to know about this Jesus. We had all heard of him, some crazy Jewish zealot. He didn't know his boundaries. He kept trying to tell others that he was the king, the leader. It didn't help that he kept making up stories about bringing people back from the dead or making food out of nothing. But he wasn't the first crazy person, and he wouldn't be the last. None of that matters now. He is dead, and I will now have a death sentence on my head. I don't know how it happened. One moment I was standing there, looking at that stupid grave, and the next, there was no wind, just quiet.
It was so quiet.
So very quiet.
Empty. The stone was rolled to the side.
Empty.
The tomb was empty.
This had to be a dream. I must have fallen asleep. No one could have moved the stone. It was immovable.
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 But no, the stone was moved. The tomb was empty. And I'm dead. There was no other choice. I had to run to get away from the fate that awaited me, the same fate that Jesus suffered. I didn't know where I was running to, only that I wanted to avoid the other soldiers. I slipped on some slick stones as I ran and bruised my knee. And then I ran smack into some women as they were coming to the tomb. It seems this Jesus has affected my life after all. A soldier. All I ever wanted to be was a soldier. And now I'm dust. It was an immovable stone. How could they have done it? Could he have done it?
A stone.
A rock.
An innocent stone.
A divider between my Lord and me. It was still dark when several of us women joined together to go visit the tomb of our Lord. You could tell it was going to be a beautiful day. The stars were still bright above as we left the gates of the city. And there was a purple haze in the east, a royal purple hue. We walked quickly and purposefully to the tomb with our spices and perfumes. We talked and prayed as we went. The prayer was that someone, a gardener or anyone, would be there to help roll the stone out of the way so that we could reach him. Our talk continued.
May God bless our journey and accept our gifts today.
When will the Messiah come?
I don't know. Someday, I'm sure.
The Messiah has come. We're going to see him today.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yes, he's dead, but just then someone ran into us. It was still dark, but it looked like he was a soldier of some sort. When I asked why he was running, all he said was,
"The rock! The rock!"
We ran now. The closer we got, the more we could see.
The sun had risen at last. The night was over.
As we got to the tomb, I stopped dead in my tracks. No rock, no stone. It was out of the way. I crept slowly into the cave. A voice out of nowhere said,
"Why are you afraid?
The one you look for is no longer here."
He has risen, as he said.
My first reaction was to cry, because he was gone. Then it hit me. Because Jesus was killed, he said something. Before Jesus was killed, he said something about the third day. I didn't think about it on that time. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. I turned around to ask the others what we should do. But the one there, they stood outside. They were crying.
They took him! How could they? Why would James or Peter do this?
Don't you understand? They did not take him. Now I was excited. Now I understood. He's alive. We're going to see him again. Not his body, but Jesus. I don't know how or when or where, but as sure as the sun has risen and these rocks are lying here on the ground, we are going to see him again. Funny, isn't it? The rock started out as the barrier to our Lord. Now the Lord Jesus is the foundation, the building stone, which allows us to start our life.
An innocent stone
has become more than a broken rock.
He has become a building stone.
The cornerstone.
No more dust to dust,
but a rock.
He died.
The stone was put back in the ground.
But
he arose.
He died and arose for me.
For me.
For me.
For me.
For you.
The Rock of Ages
is with us today.
No more silence.
No more stillness.
It's time to shout.
It's time.
It's time.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Thank you so much. He has risen indeed. And he arose for one purpose, and that purpose was to have a relationship with you, with me, with each one of us. And I don't know what kind of relationship you have with the risen Christ. I know about some of you, but I don't know about all of you. I know what kind of relationship I have with the risen Christ. And I know that it's one that sustained me through the years. It's one that picks me up when I'm fallen. It's one that talks into my ear when I need some affirmation and some love. It's a relationship in which I can trust, a relationship that will not end just because Jesus doesn't have time for me or because I walk away from him. It's a relationship forever. It's a relationship that gives life, the life he took back. It's a relationship that you can enter at any time, that he's always inviting you to enter. A relationship in which he loves you and you get loved. And you love him and he gets loved. A relationship on equal terms, on terms of life, an eternal life. So allow me to invite you this Easter. John was telling me the story that 10 years ago, he and Terry, living a couple blocks from here and having moved here in January, Easter Sunday came and they said to themselves, we have to go to church on Easter. And they walked through those doors and never left. 10 years ago. You can make that happen in your life today. If you came for the first time today, if you came for the second or third time, but you come once in a very while, and you don't know us that well, you can make that happen. You will be welcomed, embraced, affirmed, and loved by this whole congregation, along with Jesus. God bless you all.